That's my brother Ben right there. You may not be able to tell that we're brothers. We don't necessarily look similar. He is very handsome, and I'm very not. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful. It's good to, you know what? It's good to just see people that you love testifying to the glory and the goodness of God, isn't it? And I think that's my favorite thing about coming to church, is that we get to see that over and over and over again. I know what's going on right now, though. There's a whole population of people that are in this worship service right now. You're sitting in here right now, and you don't care one bit about anything I'm about to say. You're not even thinking about it. In fact, your mind is somewhere totally else right now. I know it is. There's a whole group of you in this place right now, and the sole thought in your brain is on what's under that Christmas tree. That's what you're thinking about right now. You know it's a big present under there, and it's got your name on it, and all you can think about is what is in that present, right? There's a whole group of you in here right now who what you're thinking about right now is that letter that you wrote to Santa Claus like 3 months ago, and all you can think about is when Santa Claus comes tonight, is he going to leave me that, you know, thing, that PS4 that I wanted, or that virtual reality. What do you call those things? The meta thing? I don't know. I don't know what you asked for Christmas, but you're wondering if Santa can bring it to you, and that is all you were thinking about. The anticipation is killing you, okay? I know that's what you're doing because I have been there before. I was there once upon a time in my own life. And I'll tell you this, that in those moments whenever I was a kid, I thought I could barely stand the waiting, right? And I would have to sit through services like this where some guy was like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, can we get to the presents, please, right? I've been there. And I want to say that it reminded me of another time in my life. There was a time in my life when I finally like worked up the courage to ask this amazing, beautiful woman to marry me. And she, despite all wisdom to the contrary, okay, she said yes. And we got engaged. And I put a ring on her finger and we got engaged. And it was this beautiful, happy moment. And we were so excited to be engaged. And for the first like 2 or 3 days, it was so fun because I would say fiance and she would say fiance. I didn't say Beyonce, I said fiance. But we would call each other fiance, and that was so wonderful and so beautiful, and she would show off the ring, you know what I mean? And it was a happy time. It was a happy time. That lasted about a week, you know? And then it was like, this engagement thing is the worst thing ever. It's the worst thing ever because we were ready to be married. We wanted to be married, but we were like, I know what let's do. Let's wait another 10 months, even though we want to be married right now. We're excited about being married. Here's what would be a great thing. We'll just wait another 10 months before we get married. It was excruciating. It was awful. I couldn't wait. And by the time we got to the end of that, like when we got married in August, on August the 5th, by the time we hit like May the 15th, I was coming out of my skin. I was so ready to be married to Amy. And so that whole thing about anticipation, that's something that a lot of us know about. And we've all lived through it in one way or another. So I just want to say to all you kids out there, ease up, okay? Be calm, all right? Christmas is coming. Just listen for a little bit. It's going to be okay, all right? That's what I'll say about that. But we all know about anticipation. We know what that feels like. We know what that's about. And we've experienced it, though. But some of us are experienced that feeling of anticipation. There's something that we're hoping for, something that we're expecting out there. And it's a little more serious than just gifts under a tree. Some of us are waiting, man. We're waiting for healing in our bodies. Some of us are waiting. We're waiting for God to restore a relationship we've been praying for a long time. We're waiting for God's provision. We're wondering how we're going to survive this season in our life one way or another. And we're waiting for God's provision to show up, for him to show us how we're going to walk through this season. Some of us are waiting to be rescued from a painful situation. We're in the middle of a difficult, painful situation, and we're waiting for God to deliver us from that. Some of us are waiting for God to heal our marriages. We're waiting for God to heal a relationship with our child. We're waiting for someone that we love and someone that we care about to surrender their heart and their life to Christ. We've been praying. So we know how it feels to wait. And a lot of us here this morning are waiting on one thing or another, and we see it. We can see ourselves in the birth narrative of Christ. There was this guy, Simeon, who was waiting. God had told him. God had said, hey, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. And he had spent his entire life waiting on this thing to happen. And so there's some truths in the birth narrative of Jesus for those of us who find ourselves waiting. And that's what this series has been about. What's some wisdom for those of us who find ourselves waiting on one thing or another this morning? Here's one thing. God speaks to those who listen. If you have your Bibles, turn it to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to talk about this passage of scripture that Josh and Abby read to us earlier. And it's the story of Simeon. So here it is in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. This is what it says. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so you have this story, this guy, Simeon, who's heard from the Lord. And I want to say it's interesting because the name Simeon, his name Simeon, actually means one who hears. He who hears. That's what the name actually means. And so what we know about Simeon is he was a person who heard from God. He was listening to God. And like all of Israel, Simeon was waiting. He was waiting for God's salvation. He was devout. He was righteous. He was proactively choosing to place himself in a position where he could hear from God. He was doing all of these things to keep himself in a constant state of listening, being open to the voice of God. And the truth is that there are some of us here this morning, and we're anxiously waiting to hear from God, right? We're anxiously waiting. We've been praying. We've been seeking. And we don't feel like we're hearing anything from God, right? But the real reason that we may not be hearing from God is because we haven't placed ourselves in a position to hear from Him. We're not actually listening. Listening means submitting. So I'm going to tell you a truth this morning, and it's one that I have really struggled to learn in my own life. And so I want to share this with you because I think it's important for us to hear this morning. But if we want to hear from God, we should first submit ourselves to the will of God. And there are lots of us who want for God to speak, but we're not necessarily interested in obeying. And the truth is that God speaks to those who are listening. So we should ask ourselves this morning, are there any parts of my life, any areas of my life that are not surrendered to God? We should ask the Lord that question this morning. And I want you to imagine this. Imagine God speaks this incredible promise to Simeon. He tells him, you are not going to die until you see the Lord's Messiah. And then after that, guess what? Nothing. Years and years and years of silence. Not hearing anything from the Lord about this promise. And wouldn't it be natural? I mean, I'm sure. Here's Simeon. He's getting older. He's getting older and older every day. And I'm sure as he's kind of rounding that last turn in his life, he's like, okay, Lord, when is this going to happen? And then wouldn't it be natural for him to be like, maybe I heard wrong. You know, maybe I misheard the Lord God. You know, maybe he didn't mean that I was actually going to see the Messiah before I died. Wouldn't it be natural for him to question it? And it would be the same for us. Sometimes God speaks or God makes a promise and we feel like we've heard from God and then we don't hear anything. And then we start to wonder, is God really speaking to me? Did he really speak to me? Sometimes we will even wonder, is God real? Is he real? Does he really love me? Does he really care about me? Is he really wanting to move in my life? And we wonder about these things. It'd be natural for us to wonder if God's word would actually come to pass. Well, that kind of leads us to the second truth that we see in this passage of scripture. God speaks to us, God speaks to those who listen, but God also wants for us to be faithful in the silence. What we see is that Simeon is that even in these, even in the waiting and the uncertainty and all of that, Simeon remains faithful to God. He remains devout. He chooses to trust God. And y'all, this is not unique to Simeon in Scripture. So often, this is how the Lord works. God speaks to Abraham. He says, I'm going to make you a mighty nation. Your descendants are going to be so numerous, they're going to be more numerous than the grains of sand on the seashore. This is what I'm going to do for you. And then after that, nothing, right? Years and years of nothing, and years of him and his wife not having a baby. And I'm sure he wondered. In fact, we know from Scripture, he wondered, did I mishear God? Did I make a mistake? In fact, he even has a son with his wife's concubine, his wife's servant. Look, don't get me started on all that. Those younger folks out there, get your parents to explain that to you later. But he even has a son with somebody else because he's not sure that God is going to do this thing that God promised to do. And it leads to all kinds of trouble. It leads to all kinds of stuff because that nation that came from that other son fought against the nation that came from his son and still is to this day. And so generations of conflict because he didn't surrender, he didn't submit, he wasn't faithful to God even in the silence. And friends, I just want to say to you, it's important this morning. God speaks and God makes promises. But then he wants for us to be faithful. He wants for us to trust him. The whole exercise is about learning to trust God. And so if we trust God, he's going to do mighty things. But we can choose not to trust God. We can choose to take things into our own hands. And when we do, there are consequences for that. God's still going to do what he said he was going to do because he's good, because he's faithful. But there are consequences when we don't remain faithful even in the silence. Here's the truth for you this morning. Listen, trust is an act of will. We trust because we choose to trust. And in our culture, we talk a lot about people earning our trust, right? And I get that. There is a truth to that. We want to earn other people's trust, and we don't want to give our trust away too freely, right? But when it comes to the Lord God Almighty, trust is an act of will. Trust is something we decide to do, we choose to do. And the truth is, even in our relationships, a person can work as hard as they want to earn our trust, but we don't trust until we will ourselves to trust, until we decide we're going to trust. Trust is an act of will. And so this morning, if you find yourself in the silence, God says, be faithful. God says, trust me. Lean into the things of God. Consciously, proactively choose to center your heart on Christ, to place your trust in him. Now, maybe some of us this morning, we just need to say to the Lord God, okay, God, I trust you. I'm sorry for not trusting you. Today, I submit, I trust you. Here's another truth that we learn from this scripture that will encourage us when we're in a time of waiting. The Spirit leads those he fills. If we continue on in the story, verses 27 and 28, this is what it says. It says, that day, the Spirit led him, Simeon, to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God. So what we see in this passage, we see Simeon, right? The scripture says that he was led by the Spirit. And then earlier we heard that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Remember that? So here's a man who was characterized as a person who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, friends, then we can be led by the Spirit. And the funny thing is, when we're led by the Spirit, we always end up where we're supposed to be, at the time that we're supposed to be there. And so there's some of us this morning who we find ourselves in this period of waiting, right? We find ourselves in this period where we're not hearing from God, where we're wondering what's next, right? And God wants us to trust him, but God also wants for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, we're led by the Spirit. And some of us this morning just need to say to God, okay, God, I want to be led, guided by your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Do that this morning. Now, look, as soon as I say that, there's some people out there, maybe you've had some experiences like me where where that whole conversation around being filled with the Spirit took you into, or you've seen it take people into all kinds of weirdness, and so you don't trust it, right? And every time somebody brings up the Holy Spirit, you get a little nervous, like, I don't know what's about to happen here. You know, craziness about to ensue. Well, let me say two things to you. First of all, the Holy Spirit is real and is powerful and is at work. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill you with His presence. He wants to fill you with His power. The Holy Spirit is real and active and alive. That's the first thing I want to say to you. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit is trustworthy, right? The Holy Spirit wants to move and wants to work in our lives. But if you're nervous that if you allow yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit, God might do something weird, can I just say to you this morning, you are absolutely right. That is what is going to happen. When the Holy Spirit fills you with His presence and fills you with His power, friends, the miracle power of God follows us around when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The miracle power of God leads and directs and guides us when we're filled with His Spirit. And so we go places and we do things and we end up experiencing things and being a part of things that we wouldn't have experienced if we hadn't been led by the Spirit. And so yes, when the Holy Spirit of God shows up, things get weird. Praise God for that, right? I don't know about you, but maybe I'm a little bit tired of just normal, you know? And maybe one of the issues that we have with church sometimes, maybe one of the reasons that we feel like it's something that we can just kind of do on the side, like, you know, religion, faith is something that we can kind of do on the side. Well, that's the normal way to do it. Maybe there's another way. Maybe there's another way that's characterized by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. That's more, that's greater. So I'm just going to challenge you this morning. Maybe somebody here this morning just needs to say, okay, God, fill me with your Spirit. I don't care what that looks like. I don't care what it means. I just want you to fill me up with your Spirit because I want to be where your Spirit is leading. Fill me with your Spirit. I dare you to pray that prayer this morning and see what God does. If we want to be led by the Spirit, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. Here's another truth this morning. God's presence is the blessing. God's presence is the blessing. Y'all, look at verse 28 again. Here's what it says. Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you promised. I have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he's the glory of your people Israel. Y'all, I can't get over this passage of Scripture because did you hear what it said there? He took the child in his arms. Y'all, we need to think about that. Like, we need to ponder that. Look, the salvation of the world, the God of the universe, the Holy One of Israel, Simeon was holding all of that in his arms, y'all. He was pulling all of that close to his chest. That's what was happening with Simeon right there. And he realized in that moment, I can die in peace right now because I have received God's blessing. It's this baby that's in my arms right now. I can't imagine how that must have felt. I can't imagine what that must have been like. But here's the beautiful truth for you and I this morning. That's the gift that God wants to give every one of us. He doesn't just want to bless you in all of these ways that we think or that we ponder. He wants to bless you by giving himself to you. He wants to cause his presence to dwell within you. He wants to draw close to you. Guys, the blessing is God's presence. And I just want you to hear that this morning. That's the powerful truth that Paul understood. Paul who had arrived at all these places that everyone else aspired to in his day and age. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. He was a Roman citizen. I mean, he had all of these things going for him. And then in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, here's what Paul says about all of these things that he had accrued, all of these things that had happened to him in his life, all of these honors and titles he'd received. Philippians 3, verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. And then he says, I want to know Christ. I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. That's what Paul said. Can I ask you a question this morning? What is it that you want from God this morning? What is it that you've asked God for? What is it? Think about it in your head. Whatever it is we think we want this morning is garbage compared to the presence of Jesus Christ. And what God wants to give you is so much greater than what you've asked for. He wants to give you his presence. He wants to give you himself. Listen. When I was a kid, y'all, I thought Christmas morning was about the presents. I couldn't wait for Christmas morning. I couldn't wait to rip open all those presents and to get all of those gifts and to play with all of my toys. I remember one year I got the Ewok village from Return of the Jedi. Greatest gift I ever got. The whole village, y'all. It was amazing. And as soon as Christmas was over, I was in there with my little, you know, figurines, and we were playing up in the Ewok village. It was awesome. Awesome. I thought Christmas was about the presents. But as I get older, I understand something. Ask me where that Ewok village is right now. I have no idea. I don't know where the Ewok village is. It's gone into the sands of time. I don't know what happened to it. I wish I knew, because it would be worth some serious cash flow right now if I still had it. But I don't have it. It's gone. You know why? Because that wasn't really what was important. That wasn't really what mattered. As I got older, I realized something. Christmas morning wasn't about those presents. It was about all of us being together. It was about all those smiles and all that laughter. It was about those tears of gratitude and appreciation. That's what it was about. The gifts weren't under the tree. The gifts were around it. And that's the message of the gospel this morning. What God wants to give you is greater than what you've asked for. It's greater than what you're waiting on. Look, he may still give you what you've asked for. Probably will. He loves to give good gifts. He loves for us to open the gift and just be overwhelmed at how beautiful and amazing it is. He loves to give good gifts, but that's not the gift he really wants you to have. Something way more important than that. It's his love. It's his mercy. It's his acceptance. It's his presence. And every person in this room can walk out of here with that amazing gift today. God's presence is the blessing. So maybe some of us just need to pray today. We just need to say to God, God, today I want you. I want to know you. I want what you want from me. Period. Maybe some of us need to pray that prayer today. Here's the last truth. God's blessing is not always what we expect. If you look at verse 33, here's what it says. It says, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He's been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. And so here's Simeon saying, everyone expected for the Messiah to come, and everyone expected for the Messiah to set up his new kingdom in Jerusalem, and everyone expected for Israel to be freed from oppression and to finally be its own autonomous kingdom under God's own authority. Everyone expected for the Messiah to come and to do those things. They thought that when the Messiah came, that the suffering would end, the oppression would end, everything would be restored. They were so looking forward to that, right? And now the Messiah is here. And the vision that the prophet Simeon receives and what he says to Mary is he's like, oh man, this child is going to cause many to fall. This child is going to be an amazing blessing, the fulfillment of all God's promise. But guess what? This child will cause a sword to pierce your own soul. And the truth is that when God is at work, when God shows up, he doesn't show up like we expect him to. I mean, we know that he's shown up, but we're often surprised at how he does it. And here's something else that I want for you to hear this morning. This is really important. Blessing and sacrifice go hand in hand. We submit ourselves to God. In order to receive his blessing, sometimes, in order for him to place his blessing in our hands, often we have to put down what's already in them. And it's not easy for us to do that. Sometimes it even hurts. But what God wants to give us is so much greater. And the truth is this, friends, and I want you to hear this. We have to desire. See, sacrifices purified people. When we sacrifice things, it purifies us. It's us putting down the things that we don't need to take up the things that God desires to give us. That's what it is. Sacrifice purifies us. And we have to desire purity more than blessing. And somebody here this morning is waiting. You're looking for God to answer a prayer, to do this thing that you've asked. And you're wondering when it's going to happen. And what the Lord wants to say to you this morning is, do you desire to be who I've called and created you to be more than you desire what you want from me? And maybe some of us just need to confess that that's not where we have been. And we need to say, God, I need for you to take from me what I'm not supposed to have. And I'm ready to lay it down. I could not wait to be married. I was so excited. And that time of being engaged was really important, though, because even though I couldn't wait to be married, I had no idea what I was getting into. I had no idea at all. I didn't have any idea what it was like to serve someone else, to be the kind of husband that God wanted for me to be. I had no idea how to do that. And I'm not saying I figured it out in those 10 months. Amy would tell you, I did not, okay? Did not figure it out. I still haven't figured it out. But what I've learned over the past, 28 years of being married to Amy, what I've learned is that the gift I thought I was getting is so much, the gift I actually got is so much greater than the one I thought I was getting. I had no idea how beautiful and amazing this gift was that God was giving me and my wife. I had no clue. And even now, I feel like I don't know. I'm still learning about it all the time. But guess what? It wasn't an easy gift. In order to be married for 28 years, I've had to sacrifice some things. I've had to lay some things down. I've had to grow out of some terrible habits. I've had to take myself and offer myself on the altar to the Lord God. It was worth it. In fact, I don't even like to say it was worth it, because that diminishes what it is I've received from God in my wife and in my family. It was so much greater than worth it that I can't even begin to describe it to you standing here today. And what I want for you to know is that's what God does. That's what God always does. That's how God always works. Whatever it is that you're asking for this morning, what he wants to do, the gift that he wants to give you, is so much greater you can't even imagine it from where you're standing right now. And he'll do it. He's going to do it. He's faithful to do it. If you'll submit yourself to him and you'll surrender yourself to him and you'll receive from him what it is he wants to give you. Now that is a message we ought to hear on Christmas. Right? The gift actually symbolized this morning for us by this bread. This bread symbolizes the body of Jesus that was broken for you and I. The gift symbolized by this juice in this cup. This juice symbolizes the blood of Jesus that was spilled for you and I. When God gave you the gift of himself. So this morning, as we're going to receive communion together, and we do that through this process called intinction. That means that you're going to tear off a piece of bread and you're going to dip it into the grape juice and you're going to eat that. That's how we do it. There's also some of these prefab things here. If you need a more sanitary option, that's for you. And the communion is open to everyone here this morning. This table is the Lord's table. It does not belong to me, right? It does not belong to First Shallow Water. Anyone here this morning who has surrendered their heart and their life to Christ, anyone who has made Jesus their Lord is welcome to receive communion. But I want to challenge you to do a few things as you come and you receive communion this morning. I want to challenge you to do a few things. First thing is, I want you to ask God, are there areas in my life that are not surrendered to you? So as you're waiting and as you're coming, ask God, are there areas of my life that I haven't surrendered to you? And then I want you to ask God this, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And then as you're receiving communion, I want you to pray and I just want you to say, God, I want you. I want only you. I want to know you this morning. God, I want you. I want only you. I want to know you. And as you receive communion, pray that prayer to the Lord God. If you do that, I'm telling you, what God will begin in your heart, it's so big, it's so beautiful, it's so exciting, I don't have words for it, so I'm going to stop trying. All right? I'm going to ask our worship team to come. I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to pray for us. And then our ushers are going to dismiss us to receive communion. But this morning, ask God what needs to be surrendered. Ask him to fill you. And then tell him that you want him this morning. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning I believe that there are people here who they've never surrendered their heart and their life to you. They've come to church sometimes. They've tried to be a good person. They've done some things. They practiced religion in some ways, God, this morning, but they have never surrendered themselves to you. They've never claimed you as their Lord. They've never said to you, God, I need you. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. This morning, I pray that if there's someone in this room who's never given their heart to you, who's never surrendered themselves to you, that they would have the courage today to say to you, God, I need you. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. And then for those of us who are gathered this morning as we come, help us to receive the greatest gift of all today. Help us to receive the gift of your presence. Help us to receive from your hand what you desire to give us this morning. And as we remember your sacrifice on the cross for us, as we remember your victory over death and over the grave when you were resurrected from the dead, God, as we remember that this morning, I pray that our hearts, that our minds will be totally focused on you, that we would desire nothing more this morning than you. Because if we desire you this morning, guess what? Guess what's going to happen? We're going to get it. We're going to get what we desire if we desire only you. So do that work in us as we worship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.